Welcome to Herbs Acupuncture and everything else. This week we have a wonderful guest. Her name is Loon. She is Lakai Loon on Instagram, and she is a fantastic practicing healer, educator, herbalist, and writer.
Spiritual coach. She has a wonderful business based out of Brooklyn, a Haitian-American mystic, and we found each other on Instagram again, as we normally do. And I just really fell in love with your intuitive tea making, and that you bring writing and you bring your culture, and everything kind of like comes together in a really beautiful way that I haven't seen presented before. And I feel like it's really worth adding your voice to the discussion. And I just, yeah, even looking at some of your tea blends, I was like, these look amazing. I'm so here for it. Yeah, it's just, it's beautiful. And I feel like the blending of your, you know, clinical psychology, but also just how you grew up, and you just blend it all so beautifully. So Thank you.
It's such an honor to be here with you. I really admire the work that you're doing and the podcast you have and the way that you are partnering and featuring different herbalists and engaging in these conversations just to spread light to the world around like what's happening with people who are coming up in the industry but have been practicing for a long time. So it's really an honor to be here. So thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like what I was taught when I was learning herbalism is like herbalism is people's medicine, and it is a form of activism in a way, you know? So I feel like it's super important to, yeah, like raise up the voices of people that are really like on the front lines doing that work. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And how do you, I'll start with that question of how do you feel like herbalism and activism go together for you?
Yeah, I think what comes to mind for me is just thinking about how I grew up and how really when we think about herbalism and activism, I really think about my faith and spirituality. So in Haitian voodoo, there is a great deal of looking towards like the Mambo and the Hougon, the people who are supporting the community spiritually, looking towards them for remedies and looking for ways to be healed and supported by them. So if it's not, although like I grew up Catholic, it's really not like that. And so I'm using those two frame of references because that's what I know. And instead of like going to a priest or something like that to confess or to listen to a lecture and a sermon, instead you're going to someone and it's their job to feed their community. It's their job to heal their community. And it's a very active role. You really have your hands in the dirt. You really have your hands in the land, and you are meant to heal your community. Like you get orders from spirit. Like this is what you need to do. And when we think about healing the community, there's so many ailments that the community is facing, like mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And herbalism is a way to offer people healing through ceremony, through ritual, through the process of ingesting herbs, of using herbs on your body. And so when an herbalist is making those remedies for their community, it's really out of a place of like pure joy, pure love, and really a place of channeling spirit, allowing oneself to be a vessel, and then knowing how to offer that to the world, how to gift that to others. But in whenever you're making a remedy, it just reminds me of that quote by Audre Lorde, where she says, like, self-care is like not a luxury. Self-care is an act of resistance. It's an act of, you know, really just caring for oneself. And by caring for oneself through herbalism, you're also caring for your community, because by creating remedies for yourself, you're able to offer them to others. So this notion of being a healer, of being an herbalist, of being an activist, it has to come through you first. So when it comes through you, it has to heal you first before it heals the people. And so you have to go through that process. So whenever you meet somebody and you're offering a message to them, whenever you meet somebody and you're and when I'm doing a consultation, and I am learning what that person needs, and I'm listening to their problems, and I'm listening to where they want to be, that message is for me too. So it's really a type of activism that allows you to continue on this perpetual journey of healing, because we're never fully healed because we're always acquiring wounds, especially in this world. So when I think about it as activism, it's like, how do I take care of myself and that be a radical act? But how could I, in like the words of a good friend, poet Aja Monet, she says, self-care is radical, but community care is revolutionary. Ooh. So when I think about activism and the type of work that I'm doing as an herbalist, it's revolutionary because my offering is for the community, is to help the community heal. And I dare not offer to the community without first continuously healing myself.
Oh my gosh. That was so amazing. Like wow, that was so beautiful. Oh my goodness. I got shivers. Like that was so much truth. That was so channeled from spirit. Thank you so much for bringing that. Oh my gosh.
You're welcome. Ooh.
Yeah, that's like nail on the head. There's so much there that you touched on. Oh my gosh, my heart's like pounding. Yeah. Aww. You should definitely teach herbalism. Like we need people like you, like teaching how to do this right, you know?
Thank you.
Because it's so clear that you're so like spirit led and you're so in contact with the true essence of herbalism and the true essence of community medicine. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Wow. And maybe are you able to expand a little bit on kind of how you grew up and how this journey started for you?
Sure. So I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Both of my dad grew up in Ansavo, which is a part of Haiti that has like a great deal of like farms and is really rural. And my mom grew up in the city of Port-au-Prince. So a lot of what I know, like growing up as a child, we would receive herbs from my grandparents, and we used to listen to them on cassette tapes, and they would send all of like these herbs to us and support us. And as a kid who was trying to assimilate in America, it was really tricky because I would feel like, you know, can't we just take some Advil around here? Like, what is this other remedy? Like, why do you have to rub this? Like, don't regular people just use Vicks? Yeah. And so there were like all kinds of questions that I had. And so I went through that stage of just maybe being a little ashamed of the way that we were living and existing. But I remember when we moved, we actually moved out of an apartment and went to Queens. And my dad, that was when I was 10, and my dad finally had a garden. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing like him grow all of these vegetables and all of these herbs. And every morning he would go and pick out like mint. When we had a cold, he would like make a concoction of like thyme and lemon and ginger, and he would be growing all of these things. And he would always talk about his time as a child, and he would also share a lot about like his family's experiences with spirit and just how grateful he was. And whether he was picking out like a bunch of peonies, cutting them and like putting them on my dresser, or like serving me a cup of tea, I just always loved sitting outside with him and watching him, because he was working full time. He was trying to study, but he always made time for his like sacred herbalism. And that was so admirable to witness. And it really stuck with me. And even when I went to his brothers and sisters' homes, like it was the same thing. Everybody was taking care of their garden. And it's interesting how he has eight brothers and sisters, but they all bought houses near each other in Queens, and they continued to live in a very communal way. And so it was always like trading with each other. Like, I grew this, take this. I grew that, take that. And so I witnessed a lot of community care and a lot of growing in herbalism, like through them, really. Mm-hmm. And even one of his older brothers who came to the States way later than we did, just the beautiful times we share as a family, like telling stories, learning about remedies, the folklore, the stories about spirit, the songs we would sing, like it was a whole entire cultural indoctrination into this way of life that I couldn't always fully appreciate because I was like a teenager trying to just fit in. But it meant, as I reflected, as I got older, it started to become more and more important for me. And I was able to go back to at a time when I was feeling very discouraged, very down, very weak and wanting healing. I found myself going back to my ancestral lineage to find my strength and wanting to sit down intentionally and have conversations about all of the different remedies and things.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Oh, and I feel like it's also kind of an act of like a subversive act in claiming and reclaiming those cultural pieces. Cause I think in America and Canada, like there's, yeah, in assimilation, some of that's lost or it's judged or people feel like they can't practice their ancestral ways because it's, you know, frowned upon or there's like prejudice or yeah, like just misunderstanding about what that means. And so I've seen a lot of people kind of push it down and then they get to a point when they're in their 20s or 30s and they're like, man, I wish I had, you know, asked my grandmother why she always did this way. Or I wish I had asked my aunt, what was that remedy for that you used to give me? But it's amazing that you still have that.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is if anyone has lost any of their grandparents, which I have, it's so interesting that when you sit in a meditation and when you cultivate a practice in the same way with psychology, right? So when a therapist is seeing a patient, it helps to see the patient at the same time every week so that the subconscious can start to show up, like the muse can start to show up and that truth comes out because our psyches can't handle too much shock and our psyches can't handle too much fear. So our egos are constantly protecting us. So in order to be able to create a space to receive messages and channel spirit, it helps to have a consistent time to do that work. Although messages may come at any time of the day, in the shower, on your walk, it helps to have a sacred time for practice. And so as I started to cultivate a sacred practice, I was channeling and receiving messages from my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And it was shocking to my family. And I was very touched when my aunt said, you know, she chose you. Mm-hmm. She chose you, you know, our mother chose you. And that just meant so much to me. I was really afraid at first, like, what's happening? Like, why am I hearing this? Why am I writing this? You know, how am I like getting these messages? But when I would tell my father some things or talk to my aunts and uncles about some things, they would say, there's no way you could know that unless your grandmother really told you. Like, there's no way that you could have had that kind of knowledge. And so I find that if people are wanting to connect with their ancestors, like having an ancestor altar, like reaching out to ancestors of good character and sitting with them every day and giving them those offerings helps them to show up, and they really do. And they start to offer insight and messages. And something as simple as my grandmother saying, like, put together some mullein and burdock root and some oat straw and verbena for your uncle, and learning that my uncle like has asthma and that's going to really help him, like things like that. I wouldn't have known to do that that's just, it was just like, send this one to this kid, send this one to that kid, and just do the work that I'm telling you to do. So there's a great deal of humility that comes with being that type of vessel and channel for spirit, but there's also a great deal of humility that comes when the ancestors are speaking to you and wanting you to support yourself, support your family, and share it with the world.
Yeah, wow, completely. And I feel like, yeah, those channeled spirit messages are so different from when we're sitting down at the desk and we're like, okay, this herb is for that, this herb is for this, you know, because you might get that message of, I don't know why, but I feel like I need to give this person, you know, rose and oat straw and verbena, or I need to give this person mullein and burdock. And then you realize later, oh, that's why. But it wasn't a cognitive thing that you knew. It was something you felt inside, and you just had to be humble enough to just do it and trust
it. Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. And you know, interesting, because I will get so many downloads and I am so floored when I research them afterwards. Like, oh my gosh, that's why I need to put those six things together. That's why I need to put these five things together. Like, thank you. You know, and they don't have like adverse reactions to each other. Like, this is working so synchronistically, like as a blend. Like, this is incredible. So just knowing that, aside from what society says, which is like, you have to start with your mind, you have to like have rationale, and then after that you have to like prove everything, and then you can share it out, and if someone feels intuitively connected, it's like great. It's like starting with the opposite process, like connect intuitively first, or in tandem as you're studying, and that's going to help your products and practices to be more authentic to you and your soul's lineage and what your soul is trying to realize right now in this lifetime.
Completely. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I feel like the idea of, you know, like check your books first, memorize all the herbs, formulate from, you know, from your books or from what, you know, other authorities on herbal medicine say, that's a very like reductionist, logical Western mindset, you know? But when we go back to like the cultural roots of herbalism in lots of different cultures, it's not like that, right? Like, it's a lot more intuitive. It's a lot more heart-centered and spirit-centered.
Right, right.
And I really don't want us to lose that.
I know. I don't think it will be lost as long as people continue to honor it and not feel like they have to like westernize it and make sure that they find a way to explain it and write it out and make it tangible for others or make it like a marketable process. Like, I don't think this is something you could certainly choose to do, but it wasn't something I chose to do. Like, it was something that I just had to do. I went into my practice so that I could become a better writer. I went into my practice so that I could, you know, potentially become like a therapist in tandem with being a teacher. I didn't go into this practice thinking I'm going to come out an herbalist. Like, that wasn't the intention. And so I think that's the beauty of what happens when you surrender. Like, you, it's sort of like that quote where it's like, if you want God to laugh, tell her your plans. It's like, I went in telling God my plans. Like, I want to come in here to do this. And in order for me to serve, in order for me to be used by spirit, then I have to learn how, like, what are the talents that I've cultivated for lifetimes? Like, what is being channeled through me? And how can I be humble enough and open enough to receive that and recognize how it allows me to flow with that energy instead of like pushing upstream to do something for vanity or solely ego's sake.
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh. Oh, I have so much love in my heart for you right now. Like, the work.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my gosh. And I want to ask this because I'm not, it's something I wonder with your story. Like, did you face a lot of like resistance or prejudice when you were bringing in these cultural pieces and being like unapologetically connected to spirit in this way, or anything related to the Haitian or like the voodoo pieces that you bring in?
If I'm totally honest, I've been incredibly blessed. I was incredibly blessed to be a part of the Spirituality Mind Body program at Teachers College Columbia University. And I was part of a participation mystique. And I remember we were asked to share a ritual that we practiced with the class. And I was really nervous, like, what ritual am I going to share? And I thought, I'm going to make a tea blend and give a crystal to each person based off of like what I've been hearing that they're working on. And I'm going to show them that every morning when I wake up, how I channel my downloads and also how I write with spirit in mind to like heal myself. So I did that whole ritual and I had made a canister for like each person of an herbal blend. And there was one blend. Somehow I bought an extra blend. I think I bought an extra blend because I'm always nervous about not having enough for everybody. That's like a teacher. Like, yeah. I've got 32 students. I better bring 33. You just never know what's going to happen. I bought an extra one. And when I was packing everything, there was this one lid that wouldn't close. I was just like, what's going on? Why won't this lid close on this like mason jar? And the lid just was so wonky. And I remember putting it in the middle of the circle and saying like, this is for the ancestors. Cause I heard something say, how could you forget about us? Like, you have this ritual because of us. You need to honor us first in this ritual. And I was just like, oh, and I put it in the middle and I said, this is for, we first start with the ancestors, because it's true. Every day I wake up, I make a cup of tea for them. Like, if they offer me a blend, I don't serve that blend to myself first. I serve it to them first. And in that moment I did that. And I remember like my professor going, for the ancestors, that's very important for you. And she's so spiritual that she like recognized that in that moment, like, that's a very important piece, but it was an accident. If that makes sense. So just by listening to like my ear ringing and like hearing something allowed me to do that. And I continue to operate with that level of openness to, oh, I think something's going wrong, but when in fact maybe something. And so I think by me living in that space of openness and vulnerability around the right people, I all of the fear I've experienced about prejudice has come from myself. It's not coming from others. Whether or not, even if they project it onto me, I have to check in with myself and say, do you feel afraid? Do you feel ashamed? Do you feel worried how you'll be perceived? And yes, you know, this society can be very oppressive for marginalized people. However, I feel like where I am in my life, I've had the opportunity to recognize and reclaim my own power and know when I don't have to give my power away to anyone. Like, I don't have to take in anything that someone says that's not true. I don't have to take in anything that anyone says and internalize it. I can give it right back to them and say, that's your prejudice. That's your fear. That's your misconception. That's your lack of knowledge. That has nothing to do with me. Take it back. And when and if you're ready in this lifetime, I'll be right here. But otherwise, I'm not taking that. And luckily, I've been a part of, I've had a community of friends that are really right there with me. And I find like even in my family, people who don't understand, that's like, wow, Arlen's really taking this on. It's just a lack of understanding. And so people can be very harsh when they fear something, when they don't understand something. I don't consider myself like a part of any religion. I consider myself to be spiritual. So I know that voodoo is a way of life. It's an action. It's not, you have to really serve and show up. And so I just try to live by my practices, and I go to sleep better every day knowing that I was true to myself, no matter what anybody thinks.
Oh my goodness. Oof. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Like, I feel like you are one of the strongest women I've ever met. Like, just your presence, the way that you are so connected to your purpose. You're what is it called? A woman in line with her divine assignment. Like you're very, you're in it. And I just like, thank you for existing. Thank you for bringing your voice. Thank you for not letting anything not make you who you are.
Thank you.
It's really, really amazing. And how do you feel like you blend the beautiful connection that you have with spirit with your interest in psychology as well, like blending those two together?
Yeah, so what has really helped me is studying Carl Jung's work. So as a psychologist, Carl Jung's fascination with the subconscious mind and what it means to go on active imagination journeys and to see like where Freud saw what people were experiencing as difficulties and traumas as a result of the past, mm-hmm. Carl Jung saw it as a projection of the future. And mm-hmm. so I thought that distinction in psychology was really powerful to think about when conceptualizing like what my practice will ultimately be mm-hmm. As someone who is very interested in that work. And what's even more interesting is that there are so many Jungian analysts, but Jungian analysts are very underground. So like once they get their licensure, it's like you don't always know that they're a Jungian analyst. Mm. But having been exposed to them during my time at Columbia and just the way that they operate, I've really heavily considered like being trained in Jungian psychology and to like really get my certification in that department because of the way that it opens you up to what's happening in your psyche. It opens you up to like what you need to do to fulfill your purpose and your calling and what you're suffering with. And so merging that with the way that people go on healing journeys in Haitian culture, it's if someone is needing healing, then there's something that they probably didn't do that spirit wants them to do. And so that's similar to think like your disease, and we could see it as dis-ease, right? Your discomfort and your suffering is coming from something that needs to be done later on. So it's like you're making way for it, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I think about how my spirituality aligns to the way that I want to practice working with clients, it's of course thinking about their past, of course thinking about their traumas, but more importantly, how can I help them to fulfill their purpose and actually not be ashamed of it? Mm. It's like no matter what that purpose is, even if it doesn't align with like how your parents are trying to live vicariously through you, even if it doesn't align with what you're currently doing in your life, or even if it seems completely ridiculous, like to actually entertain it and to even honor that we have multiple purposes mm-hmm. and we could hold space for each other to find those purposes. So I'm really interested in community therapy because that's the way you would do that work in Haitian culture. Sort mm-hmm. of similar to like the AA, like I've never been to an AA meeting, but from what I've heard people describe, like that sense of community, that sense of togetherness, that sense of like bearing witness to each other's suffering. Mm-hmm. That's the way that things are done in the Haitian culture, but also making way for spirit to enter that and mm-hmm. not being afraid of messages that are channeled from beyond mm-hmm. and if someone needs to dance it out to get the pain out, let them dance. If someone needs to sing, let them sing. If someone needs to, you know, channel their power animals, like let them do that. If someone needs to be ridden by a spiritual loa, then let them, let that spirit enter them and do what it needs to do. And we're here to hold space and bear witness for one another. So I imagine my practice holding space for community healing in addition to personal healing, because that's so important. Whenever we bear witness to someone else's healing process and how they're doing that work in a very childlike way, we are healed too. Like mm-hmm. in any moment that we're moved to tears by how someone's processing, whether it be through making a collage or finding an archetypal symbolism and representing it, finding an archetype and representing it physically, we are healed just by witnessing that. Mm-hmm. So that's the power of community healing. It really like takes you out of the small I and yeah. into the bigger we, you know, and how we're all interconnected. And whoever we're on this journey with, there's a reason for that. And so we have to pay attention to what they're going through in addition to what we're going through. And I think that could help things not be so selfish in our world or help people not feel so alone.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I feel like that a lot of people's illness too comes from lack of connection. Like they just don't have that community connection or the spirit connection. They don't feel seen, they don't feel heard, they don't feel loved. And that's where that illness begins. And then if they're just in that cycle, like you said, of like self-interested healing, they might never find that. And so they might never get better.
Yeah, I remember Jon Kabat-Zinn, who's the director of like stress-based meditation, like stress meditation for stress reduction. He was working with Rhonda McGee, who wrote this book called The Inner Work of Racial Justice, and he wrote the foreword to it, and he talks about like finally realizing that he's not cut from the same cloth, and no matter how much you meditate, no matter how deeply you meditate, you could never reach enlightenment without facing the other, like without engaging with the other. And that resonated with me because like as a 75-year-old white man who's acquired a great deal of success, for him to say it took me 74 years to realize this, it just showed how long the process takes. But furthermore, it also illustrated how important it is to be in connection with others, to see their suffering and to know that as long as anyone else is suffering, I'm suffering too. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't think I will be okay or I'm okay just because I've gone through therapy or I'm meditating or I'm like burning sage, so I'm doing all right. Actually, if your neighbor's not okay, you're not okay. It's just a matter of time until you start to realize you're not okay either. Mm-hmm. So that was something that really resonated with me. And absolutely. Because it spoke true to my spirit and my way of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm, 100%. Yeah. Wow. Because I feel like othering is the disease of today. I feel like we're really, and it jumps, like we other different people depending on the social climate or what's on the news or, you know, whatever it might be. But that othering is such a sickness, and being able to, like you said, bear witness to other people and be in community, it humanizes everyone, right? Like everyone is your brother, everyone is your sister, and the experience of pain is universal.
Yeah, and I think about that quote that I can't remember which yogi said it, but it's like the other person is you. Mm-hmm. Like there is no other person. Imagine that. So if everyone thought like that, then this notion of like treat your neighbor as you treat yourself, it would really come to life for people. But first, before you could treat your neighbor as you treat yourself, you have to treat yourself right. So how are we, witnessing what people are going through so that we could take care of ourselves and witness what we're going through? Because sometimes by witnessing someone else's pain, it brings us to a place where we've repressed that pain. Mm-hmm. And we're like, whoa, thank you for showing that part of me to me. I've kept it tucked away deep, deep in my closet. Mm-hmm. So really spending time with others is so crucial, I feel.
Heck yeah, definitely. Oh, thank you for bringing so much wisdom to the table today. You're like, my brain feels like it's going to explode. And so I also wanted to ask, like, how has your journey been as a writer? Because you mentioned that was kind of like the first goal that you had and that it transformed into everything that you're doing now.
Yeah, I'm still on this journey. Like I I feel like I've manifested a great deal of opportunities for myself, but I am still working towards ensuring that I have the confidence to follow through, like on publications and knowing that my voice is valid. Mm-hmm. There are days where like I feel like bell hooks, and there are other days where I'm like, I can't write a sentence. And so I think it's just like coming to a place of recognizing that like I do have something to say, and that I do have something to offer to the world, and giving myself permission more than anything to do that, because writing has been a part of my life since I was 7 years old. Like, I've had a journal, and even doing things like The Artist Way by Julia Cameron and spending time like really writing has been really powerful for me. But what I'm recognizing with writing is that we're always writing, even if something is not on the page, like our journey is unfolding. And I learned that when founding La Kai Loon, because I was writing every single day for writing children, like I'm working on a children book, I'm working on a manuscript, and I was writing every day. And I was just like, wait, why do I keep getting these different blends? Like, what's going on? And I realized like that's what spirit wants to come through now. And I could either receive it and allow it to come through, or spirit's gonna move to the next vessel that's ready, because spirit will get its message out, you know, either way. So you could be a channel for it, or you could not. And so that, I'm still writing, I'm still working on like publication, but that has taught me like this is what comes first right now in my journey. Mm-hmm. And gradually I'll be able to juggle it all at the same time. But I think there's power in recognizing that with all of these journals, right now I'm writing for myself. Mm-hmm. Right now my soul is witnessing itself. And by healing myself with writing, then I'll be able to offer it to the world. But I don't have to be in a rush to be relevant, to be seen, to be heard, and to be affirmed by others. The most important thing is for me to first affirm myself. And the way that I affirm myself is by showing up to the page each day and allowing whatever comes to come. And that's different from someone saying like, this is the next manuscript that people need, like work on it, which is important too. But what's most important for me right now is that I'm fulfilled within, because what happens sometimes to people is that they get success before they're ready for it. Mm-hmm. And then there's a great deal of spiritual turmoil that happens to them. Mm-hmm. In that process. And a lot of them start to do the spiritual work after that happens to them. Mm-hmm. Like they're like, oh, I've got to sustain myself spiritually. Like this is a lot, because it's a lot when you put yourself out there into the world and you create a name for yourself, and you've got to stay in the, you've got to stay in the know. Mm-hmm. In the news. And so right now I am more so producing for myself and learning all of the messages that I need to learn, and just being open to now it's time for me to do what I have to do with herbal medicine. Like that's fine. As the time unfolds, my writing is there. That's a part of my journey. That's going to come into publication as it's supposed to, but I can't rush it. And it took me a long time to get to accept that.
Yeah, you know? Totally. Because we live in a society that's very go, 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 produce, produce. And yeah, being able to take a step back and being like, nope, I'm good. When it's ready, it will manifest. When spirit is ready for me to do this thing, I will be able to do the thing, is a totally different way of living. But it's beautiful.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's such a totally different way of being, and it's so counterintuitive to our current society. But I recognize that by listening to spirit and by doing things on spirit time, there's much more ease. Mm-hmm. And there's a flow, and there is a sense of fulfillment and abundance that comes from that surrendering, as opposed to like pushing myself to produce. In ways that could be really harmful for my spirit.
Oh my gosh. I feel like everything you're saying is relevant to my life right now. Thank you for bringing all of that. And honestly, I can say anything you write, I will read. I will be one to buy your book because I'm ready.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for asking thoughtful questions.
I feel like, yeah, I wish you lived in Toronto and then we could hang out and I could come to you for psychotherapy.
Well, you know, I'm definitely like doing that alternative spiritual like healing work. I'm not doing like full-on psychotherapy just yet, but I definitely do like the healing consultations. But what's nice is that we're having these conversations right now on this podcast. We have Instagram. When we get out of quarantine, you could visit Brooklyn. I could visit Toronto.
Oh, wow. So. 100%. That's my favorite part of this podcast is meeting people, beautiful souls doing beautiful, like heart-centered work all over the place. And I'm like, okay, now I have 100 places I want to visit and all these people I want to connect with. But yeah, you always have a place here for sure.
Yes, I understand that. I agree.
Yeah. And so my final question is like, what does your everyday practice look like for you? If you feel like you can share that.
Yeah, I'll think about like, you know, what I can share. I think every single day it's me starting with prayer. It's me honoring the day of that particular, you know, spirit, right? So like walking through just yesterday, recognizing that, you know, yesterday was Urzali's day. She's the goddess of love and passion, and Thursday's her day. So how am I choosing love on that day? How am I like embodying her sensuality? Like I bought myself some flowers. Mm-hmm. Like I chose love for myself. I light a candle. I burn, you know, some incense. I think about how to like embody that loving energy. I sit in my meditations and think about what type of love is coming through to me at that point. And where I need to offer myself love, and how can I just spend time with spirit during that day to really honor that particular energy. And there are just times where I'm just so moved and I feel so visited by the particular spirit of that day. And I'm moved to do certain things and operate in certain ways that don't always make sense to my logical, rational mind. It can't always keep up with what's happening. But just thinking about the meditation that I'm doing, the sound healing that I'm doing for myself, and like being open to even my divination practice. Like, what do I need to learn about for the day? Like, how can I find my peace during this day, and what kind of energy will I need to do that? So that's my practice every day, is thinking about like, whose day is this? What kind of support can I get from that? And also, how can I open myself to like the great spirit of all to get and receive all it is that I meant to get and receive and give and receive on this particular day. And so that's my ritual every day. In addition to sitting with my journal, you know, every single day and writing, thinking about what messages I'm channeling, and making medicine. Like those are like three rituals, like my meditation, my writing, and just channeling spirit. Is something that I try to do every single day.
That's amazing. Oh my goodness. Yeah, you are such an inspiration. I feel like I really hope one day that you do teach herbalism, because I think we really need more teachers that embody what you embody.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And thank you so much for being on the podcast. Like the wisdom that I feel like we've been imparted is invaluable. Like it's amazing. It's so, so good. I think everyone should book a session with you. So yeah, your website is beautiful, lakailoon.com, lakailoon on Instagram as well. Am I saying that wrong? I'm saying it wrong, aren't I? Lakailoon, right?
Yes, you've got it.
I don't know why my brain wants to say it differently, lakailoon.com, and then the email is info@lakailoon.com, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And people can book, like healing sessions with you as well as spiritual coaching?
Yes, so they could book, consultations for custom blends. They can book spiritual coaching. Like, I have different sessions. Those are going to come up on my website soon. Right now, the only thing that's on my website are the teas, but very shortly, within the next week, my other services will be up on the website as well.
Amazing. Yeah, I feel like your teas are gorgeous too. Like, it's amazing. I definitely recommend everyone to check you out. And yeah, I love the idea of intuitive blending. I feel like there's not a lot of herbalists that do that and add that spiritual side. So you're definitely very, very special.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it.
Thank you
it's
so
much. It's been a pleasure. Hello.
I've been in the background and just like moved to tears so many times listening to your sharing and the wisdom that's pouring through you. And I'm just like really honored.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm really honored.
Yeah. I really like spirit is just pouring through you. And I've been really, really touched. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. I've been really touched by this call and this opportunity. And it's so nice to meet both of you, to spend some time with you and on your podcast. It's been really wonderful. And I look forward to seeing where your journey takes you as well and continuing to follow you too. And it's just been a wonderful time. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're going to have a lot of fun, I think, in the future. When this is over, this quarantine, I would love to meet you in person and see you. And yeah,
we'll make a trip to Brooklyn.
Well, yeah, we'll
do. Yeah, come to Brooklyn.
Yeah, we're not far. It's not far.
It's not far.
Yeah, that would be so amazing. You always, you'll have a spot in Toronto anytime you want it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.